Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, after Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint, he understood the occupational duties of a perfect person, a Paramahansa. Thus, he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and then left for his home. Purport. It's quite short. As quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8.128, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ki pravipra ki banasa suda keni nai, ye Krishna tatva vete sei guru hoi. A guru, or spiritual master, can be anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj was a grihastha ruling over the demons, he was a paramahansa, the best of the human beings, and thus he is our guru. In the list of gurus, the authorities, Prahlad Maharaj's name is therefore mentioned. Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kapila, Kumara Kapila Mano, Prahlado, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali Vyasakir, Vayam. The conclusion is that a Paramahansa is an exalted devotee of Bhagavad Priya. Such a Paramahansa may be in any stage of life, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyas, and he can be equally liberated and exalted. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. Translation again, Narada Muni continued, after Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint, he understood the occupational duties of a perfect person, Paramahansa. Thus, he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and then left for his home. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padekamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarad Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Godangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneswari, Vrishavano, Suti Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kampa, Taruvischa, Kripa, Sindhu, Bhebacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namaho, Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here, this is the very conclusion of this particular chapter, Behavior of a Perfect Person. Prahlad Maharaj is taking instructions from Sri Narada Muni. Prahlad Maharaj is, as is mentioned here, he's a Paramahansa. There are different stages of what we say the renounced life, or what we might say different stages of spiritual elevation, and Paramahansa is considered to be topmost. And Prabhupada makes an interesting point that Paramahansa is not simply relegated to people in the sannyas ashram or the renounced. Of course, all the ashrams have the feature of renunciation. Well, sometimes we think in terms of renunciation as the sannyas ashram or brahmachari. But here, Srila Prabhupada clarifies things and explains in such a way that we can understand what it really means to be a Paramahansa. That means that one in any particular ashram or any particular occupation can become a great soul. It's not, we say, limited. Why? Because every soul is part and partial of Krishna, and every soul has unlimited qualities that can be, what we say, exhibited in the perfection of one's devotional life. There's no limitation. Using another example, Srila Prabhupada would always point to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and refer to him as a Paramahansa Grihastha. You can hear Srila Prabhupada speak on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's quality, that although living in the ashram with family and children and occupation, when very much surrounded by a lot of what we say material responsibilities, he was still considered a Paramahansa. Why? Because he was fully absorbed in the highest state of spiritual consciousness with complete love and the service of the Lord 24 hours a day. So it's very instructive here to understand this point, that the highest stage is not simply limited by ashram. Even when we say grihastha, brahmacharya, even any of the ashrams can reach the highest stage. And what is that highest stage? You know, one is completely absorbed in pure love of God 24 hours a day. You can only, cannot do anything else but serve Krishna with love. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, he's 5 years old. When we think of a five-year-old child, we don't consider this personality or this particular stage of life, one can reach such perfection. But he was a Mahabhagavat from the time he appeared. He was a great soul in the room of his mother, and after hearing the instructions from Sri Narada Muni, he became perfect. And then when he appeared, he was already on the highest stage, even as a little tiny baby. And now it's being exhibited at the age of five, fully absorbed in devotional service. But Prabhupada turns the point a little bit towards the means for achieving such thing, and that is the spiritual master. Not only can anyone be a great soul, but any soul can be a guru also. This is also interesting. And Prabhupada quotes Lord Chaitanya's verse, Kipa Vibra, Kipa Nasa, Suru Keni Hoi, Se Krishna Tattva Vete, Sehi Guru Hoi. Lord Chaitanya spoke this, I believe, to the Korma Brahmana. And he was basically saying that the Korma Brahmana, he wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya came to his house in Kurmakshetra, he stayed for 3 or 4 days. And the Korma Brahmana, he was a great devotee, Brahmana, householder, family, responsibilities, wife. When Lord Chaitanya left, he wanted to leave. He wanted to give up his whole household and simply follow Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya told him, go back. And he quoted this verse, that you can simply be a guru just by staying in your ashram. It doesn't matter where you are, simply you can become perfect. And what do? Preach. Or give the message of Sanatana Dharma, devotional service, the goal of life, to anyone and everyone you meet. So the qualification of a spiritual master is one who is empowered by another spiritual master. That's the real qualification. One who comes in the line of the cyclic succession becomes empowered to act on behalf of that great soul and also becomes a great soul. So it's not limited to any particular, what we say, situation, either materially or spiritually. One simply has to, what we say, be chaste to the teachings of the previous acharyas and the present spiritual master. And Prabhupada would also indicate that in when he would be glorified for his success in spreading Krishna consciousness, he would simply say, I followed the instructions of my spiritual master. I didn't change anything. Of course, that was his basic qualification. But based on that qualification, so many other qualifications for spreading Krishna consciousness manifested. In other words, the realization how to spread Krishna consciousness comes by way of being chased to the spiritual master. This is important. Not that I'm so intelligent and I'm so nicely situated. Let me think of new ways to do things. No, one simply has to repeat what the previous spiritual master says and learn how to repeat it in such a way that it is understood and applied according to time, place, and circumstance. Not anybody can be a spiritual master. And it's interesting because not only is anybody can become a spiritual master, but Srila Prabhupada said everyone in our movement of ISKCON should be a spiritual master. He wanted everyone, not in the formal sense of the terminology of spiritual master, but being in the role of giving Krishna consciousness to others. That's the same thing. Lord Chaitanya said, he also said, if you do that, he said to the Kurma Brahmin, you will never leave my association. You will always have my association. And that's the most important understanding, is that we can associate with the great souls by being a representative of the great souls. We don't lose that association. And the more we represent them in explaining what they have given us, and as much realization as we can understand, the more we actually associate with them or live with them. Those who live to follow the instruction, those who live to carry out the mission of the spiritual master live always with the spiritual master. They're never separated from the spiritual master at any moment. And Prabhupada said that when he was asked about his relationship with his spiritual master. He said, for never a moment was I ever separated from my spiritual master. Why? Because in following that instructions with one's life and soul, that association is there. One can experience the presence of the spiritual master at every moment. And one is getting direct, not indirect, direct connection with the spiritual master. And the spiritual master is giving all the intelligence, the guidance, and whatever is needed to carry out his devotional life. And this is the power of Krishna consciousness. The more we become connected to the source, the more we become, when we say, empowered by that same connection. Where does independent thinking come in? Or where does independent intelligence come in? How to understand the spiritual master's instructions according to time, place, and circumstance? That's the application. That takes a little bit of intelligence. It's not always clear. But by, as I mentioned, by following with great chastity the instructions of the Spirit, one becomes empowered to understand how to apply time, place, and circumstance. Here's the key, that it's not simply, what we say, repeating, but repeating with complete faith. Complete faith. One has to have faith in whatever the words of the spiritual master. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru yasyaita patite karta prakasamatman mahatmanaha. This is a powerful verse. Amazing verse. Learn this verse and learn the purport of this verse. What does this verse say? That one who has implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master and Krishna, all the imports of the knowledge of Vedic scriptures become revealed to that person. Implicit faith automatically reveals that. That's the power. It's not based on our own qualifications or disqualifications. It's simply based on faith. Having complete faith and acting on that faith in a day-to-day life. And then, what does it mean? All the imports of all Vedic knowledge becomes revealed. Then one knows the conclusion of all everything. What is the conclusion? is that devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate principle of all spiritual activity. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. So Vasijaham Riddhisani Vistam Matat Smirtir Gyanam Apohanam Cha Vedaischa Saham Aham Veda Vedyo Vedanta Krid Veda Vedeva Chaham. He said, I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am the knower of Vedas, and all knowledge is meant simply to know me. That's the conclusion of all knowledge, to know Krishna. If one has a lot of philosophical and scriptural knowledge, but it doesn't lead to knowledge of Krishna or devotion to Krishna, then it's Shramaivri Kevalam. It's a waste of time. It's just a big false ego that one carries around. So collecting knowledge is not the goal. It is simply applying the instructions in our day-to-day life in the process of devotional service to the Lord with faith, and then that knowledge becomes revealed. Then, when you come in contact with the philosophy, it's no longer theoretical. It is realized. One understands exactly what they're reading or hearing. It's not a matter of, well, you know, it's like this or like that. It's clear. It becomes clear. So this is the power of faith in the spiritual master, and to hear regularly from the spiritual master. Perhaps some of you have had this experience, that you have heard maybe a simple philosophical teachings many times, like you hear, I'm not this body. How many times have we heard, I'm not this body? Practically every day, many times a day, morning, noon, and night. But sometimes, or at times, you might hear it, I'm not this body, and the lights go off, and yes, I'm not this body. You realize it, the words actually bring about realization, whereas, although we've heard it many times, it doesn't always bring that realization. So when that realization comes, then you actually know you're actually hearing completely. You're hearing in the proper way. Or you actually realize what you heard. Because there's a difference between gyan, knowledge, and vigyan. Or what is vigyan means realize knowledge. We don't simply want knowledge. We want to realize what we hear and what we're exposed to. And that is Krishna consciousness, because theory can't save you. We have to come to the point of realization. So hearing with faith and attention from the bona fide source regularly. And this is the key. Constantly hearing with faith and trying to understand that knowledge in a practical sense, how to apply it in a day-to-day life in Krishna consciousness. Not that I know so much, but I don't apply it. I know I'm not this body, but I'm always acting on the bodily platform. No. The knowledge has to come to the point. And therefore, through constant hearing for a long time, Srinvata Svakata Krishna Purnya Shravana Kirtanaha Ridanto Yavadari Vindunoti Suhitsutam. If the devotee is honest and is hearing regularly with attention and trying to understand, Krishna reveals the knowledge within the heart. Krishna does it. He sees the sincerity and the determination of the devotee to hear regularly. He reveals that knowledge. And then that knowledge becomes devotional service. In other words, it becomes part of you. You're no longer just living the theory, but you're actually living the reality. And that's what we want. We want to become transformed. Transformed into spiritual consciousness and not simply theoretical spiritual consciousness. So theoretical is the beginning stages. But through the process of hearing, and serving under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes realized. And then one can speak on behalf of the spiritual master and be empowered by the spiritual master to inspire others to take the Krishna consciousness. And it's not a requirement. There's no requirements. One simply has to have faith in the words of the spiritual master and determination in carrying out those instructions. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, he's hearing from Sri Narada Muni. He offers his respects to the great soul. He thanks him for his... And then he worships the saint. Here also it's important that, just like in material society, people give knowledge to others in academia or in other forms of, what we say, teacher-student relationship. And then there's some money given, but they don't really appreciate so much. It's more like a business or an exchange. Or maybe if there is some appreciation, one is thinking, I want to be like that person, or I want to be better than that person. But in spiritual life, one always remains subordinate to the superiors and always worships the superior. Because of not only from hearing, but actually practical worship. Just like we say, yasya prasada bhagavad prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. That one should offer the respectful obeisances to the spiritual master three times a day. Morning, noon, and evening. And this is a feature of devotion to the spiritual master. So practical worship of the spiritual master also reveals the mercy of the spiritual master, and one gets realizations of the knowledge given by the spiritual master. So it's not only hearing, but it's worshiping the spiritual master. Now, one may become empowered by the spiritual master, but one should never think that one is better than the spiritual master. One may supersede the spiritual master, but one should never think like that. It's possible. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. Is like the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they worship Guru. Their whole thing is Guru. Guru Brahma, Guru Nara, Guru, Guru, Guru. Guru's everywhere. The feet of the Guru encompass the whole universe. Right? And they worship the Guru. Why? To be the Guru. They worship the Guru. And they give the philosophy, the Guru is like a ladder. And when you get to the top, you don't need the ladder anymore. You push the ladder away because you've made it to the top. So the Guru is a means to get you there, but then after a while the Guru is... But Prabhupada explains that the spiritual master always remains the spiritual master, even if the person becomes a self-realized Mahabhagavat. I mean, Narada Muni is a great soul, obviously, but Prahlad Maharaj is hearing from him. What's the quality of Prahlad Maharaj? He's a Mahabhagavat. He's a Mahabhagavat himself. He might even think, or he could think, or others could think, that Prahlad Maharaj is even greater than Narada Muni. But no, Prahlad Maharaj would never think like that. Because he always understands that the spiritual master is always in the superior position. And always that one, by worshipping the spiritual master and hearing from the spiritual master, both have to be there, then one can attain to the perfectional stage. Because sometimes we see, and it's happened a lot even in our society, one starts to think they're better than the spiritual master. And then from then on they fall down. Even if they have so much knowledge and so much devotion, they'll lose it simply by that consciousness. And so one is always subordinate and always worships the spiritual master with love and devotion or attachment to serving him in all situations. So this is a very important verse because it gives the instructions. And what is the point here? It's over and over it mentions, and Prabhupada says here, what did Prabhupada say? A guru or spiritual master can be anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. End of sentence. So that's the qualification. One who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. And we explain how to do that. Have faith and hear regularly from the spiritual master. And then one can be empowered to be a spiritual master. Why would one want to be a spiritual master? Because that's the instructions of Prabhupada. He said, I want all my disciples to be spiritual masters. Not in a formal sense, but in those to be instruments for giving this knowledge, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, to the world. And there are, in the category of spiritual masters, there are different kinds of spiritual masters. There's, what is it, Vartma Pradakshana Guru, the person who introduces you to Krishna consciousness, just like Dhruva Maharaj's mother, Suniti. She was just a lady, a queen in the palace. She wasn't very well versed in knowledge, but she pointed the direction for her son to become a great soul. She showed him the path. And therefore, at the end of life, she went back home too, because of the power of his devotional service. She was his guru in that sense, both his mother and his spiritual master. So we might think in our own devotional service, who was that person I first met that brought me to Krishna consciousness? That's your guru. That person is worshipable by you, because that person actually was sent by Krishna or by the previous acharyas to bring you to Krishna consciousness. And they may simply be, you know, a person who washes pots, or anybody. It could be any service they're doing. They're not qualified maybe in so many ways, but if they bring you to spirit Krishna consciousness, they introduce you to the process, that's a spiritual master. And then there's Shiksha Guru and there's Diksha Guru. And Diksha and Shiksha are two aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who are there to give guidance and instructions to the spiritual master. You have one Diksha Guru, you're going to have many Shiksha Gurus. But Diksha Guru, the teachings of the Diksha Guru are the foundation of one's practice in devotional service. And the teachings of the Shiksha Guru must align themselves with the teachings of the Diksha Guru. Otherwise, there is conflict and, what we say, problems, difficulties. So, in having Shiksha Guru, those teachings should be in line with one's Diksha Guru. And Diksha is also Shiksha because he's giving instructions also. So, these are the different types of spiritual masters. But Guru is one. Guru is many, Guru is one. Guru is one because what is the one? That the same message is being given. That's the oneness by different personalities. And the difference is that message is giving according to time, place, and circumstance. And by different personalities who may have different qualifications. So that's the difference. So, in bringing this point out, I'm trying to make the point that it's not to be guru means someone who simply knows the science of Krishna. That's all. And Prabhupada says that over and over again. 1974, he told one disciple, Tushta Krishna, he said, you become spiritual master. Prabhupada was still here. You can't become a formal spiritual master in that sense until the spiritual master actually is no longer personally pleasant. But Prabhupada said, you become spiritual master. Prabhupada wrote him a letter and said, I want all my disciples to become spiritual masters. So what does it mean? At least we can come to the second class platform. What is the second class platform? That is also a platform of spiritual teacher. That is one who loves Krishna, makes friends with the devotees, preaches to the innocent, the non-devotees, and avoids the atheist, the envious, like that. And by following that path, that's the second class platform, one can also be considered to give relevant instructions to others and be within the category of spiritual teacher, like that. So this is little bit about the principle of spiritual master. This is a very complex subject. But the point here is that, as Prabhupada ends the purport, Again, he makes the point, Paramahansa, which is the highest stage, can be a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprasth, or sannyas, and be equally liberated and exalted. He doesn't say, he uses the word equally, just to make the point. So, what does that tell us? We have a great responsibility. Because the whole world is in need of these teachings. As Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness movement will save the world in its darkest hour. It's getting pretty dark out there. He said that, in the darkest hour. And it's getting darker and darker because people are just so absorbed in sense gratification in a very, what's the word, destructive way. And that at any time, you know, there could be major calamities all over the world. So this knowledge is what's most needed in the world. We talk about doing good to others. There's so many ways you can do good to someone. But the greatest way to do good to someone is give people transcendental knowledge. That's the greatest of all gift. Because that knowledge can save them from the cycle of birth and death. Okay, so any questions?